This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King.
We just were sent on an emotional on an emotional wild goose chase.
Oh, man. For those ASMR lovers out there.
Whoa.
Which flavor is that, mango?
Sparkling mango.
Nice.
Not sponsored.
We didn't say what it is.
By the flavor.
Izzy.
We're not sponsored by mango-flavored items. We just had a cricket sound coming out of nowhere. And I was like, Carlos, it's you. I know it's you. And he was like, it's not me. And then, well, I was like, well, something's going on.
Like, straight up cricket, though. Like, little, summer is naive. Like,
I wonder if it will turn on.
Little history, little backstory. Why would you think it was Carlos? Because Carlos has downloaded apps on his phone to turn people's volume on their TVs up at random at holidays. He might even, like,
the Roku.
He
remote.
Might even go as far as installing a remote start on your car that the key fob's on his keychain.
Listen, when he did the remote thing, I swear to you, that family was like, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Yeah,
like, they thought their house was haunted.
Possessed TV.
It was so funny. But I have the sound on because I want people to experience the random cricket sounds we were getting.
That's funny.
And hopefully it happens. Because I was
funny,
like,
if we sat here for like 10 minutes, wait.
Okay, that kept happening randomly.
Yeah, it's not all the time on it either. It's a stupid screensaver.
It's a screensaver on our TV that apparently has sound that we just learned. But I looked at Heidi and she's like, is it me? Like, what is it?
I wish the sound was outside.
And then,
because it's cold enough where the neighbors would be like,
what is that?
Honey. Them crickets ain't hibernating it yet.
Yeah,
hibernating.
They're out there yet, and we're not going to get that first snowfall.
But the level of distrust I had for each of you, because I thought you were messing with me, and especially Carlos, I was like, look me in my eyes and say it.
Say it with your dirty little mouth.
Yeah, I want to hear your dirty little mouth set. It's your cricket sounds. Hit the button. Well, welcome.
By the time you hear this podcast, our very own pregnant Heidi King will be the big 4-0.
Yeah.
Half our listeners. Okay.
I'm leaving that in.
Half our listeners.
Didn't know my age, probably, until just now.
Yeah.
It's so funny because you missed one N and you fixed it in your brain by adding nyeh, 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 like three times. You sounded like one of the Three Stooges.
Yeah. I've been like this all day.
Nyeh, nyeh, nyeh.
My head, not connected.
Well, it would help if I wouldn't have put Christmas tree up and Christmas lights up, and somehow out of the entire yard yesterday, I hammered a stake in the ground and hit the cable line.
Yeah.
So we have no internet.
No internet.
Do you know what else is? Joe has been mudding the coop at our house. If he were to trip and fall right now, there would be suspected murder, there would be a chalk outline. He moved earlier. There was a puff.
Yeah. Hey, also.
Yeah.
Do you get ever irrationally upset when you're trying to pull when you're trying to pull into your driveway and there's a line parade of cars behind you?
Yes. Like, number one.
I literally was like, can I just turn on this road and turn in her driveway without everybody having to stop?
Like, what happened?
And up my hind end.
And they're doing construction. They're repaving the street. And they've made a moat, a trench, if you will, at the end of my driveway. It is violent.
Yeah.
They'll fill it in.
But we live on a very, very, very busy road. And people are... I don't understand. They're so impatient.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like there's a game happening that we're not in on. Like we're pig in the middle or something. You know what I mean? And I feel like when you're trying to pull out, they're trying to hit you.
No, you're in a transitional place. So when you come through the roundabout, people automatically know.
Let's just give people my exact address so they can follow along.
They're going from like a 30-mile-an-hour speed zone up to 55. So they're trying to gain
speed. But where we live is like 40.
Right. Yep. So it goes 35, 45, 55. You're right in dead center. So people are already starting to speed so that they can be hitting 55, 60 by the time they're in the other zone.
It's the worst, actually.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
Oh, it's annoying.
He says that when we were moving in, and trust us, listener or lister,
You said listener. I'm so glad that we have one person listening out there.
You personally, listener. Joe, we'll stop talking about me moving one day, but not anytime soon. When it was moving day, Joe had to back a 26-foot truck into this driveway. And we had a caravan. Like, it was like the Oregon Trail. We had, like, five cars back to back. They were all full, by the way.
And, like, somehow we crossed that moat and nobody got dysentery.
But also, our oxen forded the river. But also, somehow, a guy got sandwiched in between.
Yeah.
And the level of rage that he was filled with because he was stuck in the middle of us... He honked his horn, but he honked it for like 12 Mississippi.
Yeah.
Whilst maintaining like uninterrupted eye contact.
Ooh, in like the rear view?
Mirror? No, like with Cedric.
Like not through a mirror?
No, like through his window.
I would hate that.
I know.
Joe would give him a kiss or a thumbs up. That's what he likes to do.
I have a tendency when... People are, they're like the pinnacle of rage when they're road raging to blow them a kiss and wink. And that is the worst thing you can do.
Don't do it. Do you know what I do? I don't flip anybody off. I wag my finger at them. Like, mm-mm.
Oh, that's mean. At least I'm being affectionate.
Do you know what?
You're saying shame on you.
Yes, I am. Because they've already at that point whipped me the bird.
You know, I struggle with that because, like, I was in a service one time and the Holy Spirit was just hitting. And was it, maybe I wasn't in a service. No, I wasn't. It was me alone with Jesus and Dan Muller on YouTube. And he was preaching about shame off you, how God never put shame on you. So even parents speaking that. So... Maybe that's why I struggle with waving my finger at people's.
I didn't hear that message. I'm still good with it.
Yeah, I'm constantly like...
The Lord has not convicted me about that.
See people with the shame take it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a week.
Has it?
And it's Monday.
It's Monday.
Yeah. Well, last week.
It was since the last time we talked, it's been 7 days.
It's been a week.
Do you know in El Salvador, or like in Spanish, they always say 8 days.
Why?
Cada ocho días. Every 8 days is every week. And I'm like, okay.
Cada ocho días.
And also, when they're saying every 2 weeks, they say every 15 days. I think they're gaslighting us.
Or they know something we don't know.
Maybe.
I was thinking about Paul, mm-hmm. in 2 Corinthians 12, and he was seeking the Lord on his thorn in the flesh issue, you know? And just with us in the body of Christ and the different trials, tribulations, things that we have to endure to have.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The right constitution for the call on our life. And we just came through a presidential election cycle, or we're in the middle of it. And some of the conversations I've been having in my work life and my Christian body of Christ life and different things like that, and just how they mount up and or level up. But if you read in 2 Corinthians, I'm in the Amplified.
What verse are you in?
1.
Oh.
I don't need to be in 1 because where I'm going is a far away, but I just want full context. So, true, there is nothing to be gained by it. But as I am obliged to boast, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up to the third heaven. And he said, should I desire to boast, I shall not be a witless braggart, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I abstain from it, so that no one may form a higher estimate of me than is justified by what he sees in me or hears from me. And to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, preeminence of these revelations, there was given me a thorn, a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to rack and buffet and harass me, to keep me from being excessively exalted. 3 times I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that it might depart from me. But he said to me, my grace, my favor, my loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. Sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and my power are made perfect, fulfilled, and complete, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. This is where I was caught. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. Now I have been speaking like a fool, but you force me to do it, for I ought to have been saved. So I have been saved the necessity and commanded by you, for I have not fallen short one bit or proved myself at all inferior to those superlative false apostles of yours. Even if I am nothing, a nobody, indeed, the signs that indicate a genuine apostle were performed among you fully, most patiently, in the miracles and wonders and mighty works. It's interesting to me
This was one of the pastors from yesterday, right? From church?
Was it?
Yeah, because it stuck out to me that in order to protect you, God will pitch a tent. That was the...
Yeah.
He'll pitch a tent over you.
Yeah, and today when I was reading, what hit me was number 10, verse 10. So this, for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we market ourselves as strong or in good faith when we're having the good days.
Yeah.
You know, when the ship comes in and the blessings roll across the table, but when things don't work out the way that we want, we don't feel like what Paul is saying there, you know?
It's also interesting too, because I was initially going to ask, so if Paul had a thorn in his side, because a lot of the times, like, me and Joel have a conversation because I have a certain thing that I struggle with constantly. And I have asked God to remove it. I have tried the deliverance. I've tried self-deliverance. I've tried everything I can possibly think of spiritually to get rid of this thing. And so a lot of the times, me and Joel have a conversation because I will just, like, freak out and be like, why will this not go away? And he mentions, like, even Paul had a thorn in his side. And it doesn't actually say, like, what that thorn was, other than indications that it with infirmity, it obviously is referencing human weakness.
Well, it said that it was a voice of Satan to buffer him.
Mm-hmm. Infirmity said physical or mental weakness. So, I mean, again, it doesn't say specifically what it was, but it's just interesting because I was going to ask, how do you know the difference between a demonic attack that can be removed, right? That can be prayed off of you, spoken off of you, broken off of you, versus a thorn in the side situation. Because when you were reading that, it said, I had a thorn in my side so I would not stay puffed up.
Mm-hmm.
So in his particular situation, mm-hmm. it was to keep him humble. It was to keep him at a level of not thinking himself too great, which is very interesting.
Yeah, because Paul was a Pharisee. His father was a Pharisee. He went to the best teachers. So he had the knowledge through the law and the Torah to be puffed up.
Right.
He was a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
He made tents. You know, so he wasn't like a, and he was a citizen of Rome. He wasn't a nobody.
Yeah.
And the terms I was thinking too of this verse was like, you know, there's a lot of people that I've always found pleasure in listening to, like people in the prophetic circles, that in the last election cycle, they had heard from God that Trump was going to have a second term. And as soon as it didn't happen, a lot of them went, like, just disappeared. And people were like, that person's no longer credible. Yada, yada. They missed it. Mm-hmm. They're not of God. They missed it. And now we're facing a second term of Trump.
Yeah.
Number 47. And these people were deemed incredible.
Right.
By the church like world and the body of Christ. Like non-credible.
Yeah.
And you just think about, like, you know, what if that was their moment?
Like their thorn, to be made strong. Situation.
You know?
Well, to be humbled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always risky. It's hard to give a word.
Yeah.
And then I think maybe sometimes it's like, There's a big difference, obviously, between saying, I believe this person will have a second term consecutively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or this person will have a second term. I mean, that's two very different
But that's
things.
How God talks. Yeah. You know, right. God turned to the other disciples and said, what does it matter to you if this one sees my return or not? And everybody's like, oh, well, John's going to live until Jesus comes back. And what happened was John had a moment of intimacy with Christ on the Isle of Patmos, and he got to see the end of the world. You know what I mean? So it's like you look at moments like that, and that's how God speaks often, is he gives you all the answers you need and everything you need to be equipped for when it happens, but he never gives you his timing, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So here, like...
Or a lot of the times, how it's going to actually look.
Mm-hmm. A lot of these people were dead right in what they were hearing, but they had an opinion probably of how they thought it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And God...
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
I was like, well, don't get too fast on yourself here. And then how does your faith stand for 4 years? You know, how many people that heard that stood on their faith? I had a friend that was a local pastor that I was convinced that they were called to be a senior pastor in a local church. And I was really, I was close to them. I love them dearly. And then they had left and took a job in a different state. And I thought, man, that's not right. I was certain that I felt it was from God that they were to be, you know, these people. And what was it, like 5 years later, they came back, and now they're the senior pastors of that church, right? And we've had this conversation with them. Like, I was convinced that they were going to be, you know, but my faith was tested.
Yeah.
Like, I actually got upset, and I thought, like, I thought it was wrong for them to leave. But in all actuality, God had to do that so that they were received in the honor that they deserved when they came back. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we have to understand God's on eternity. He's like, that's his timeline. He's on eternity, and we're on time. We're like, I need this done by next Friday at noon. And he's like, if you get that next Friday at noon, that's going to destroy you.
Right.
You know? I need to make, you know, $100 million by the time I'm 30, and then I'm going to start having kids when I can financially afford them. And then God's like, no, that's not my plan for you. If you do it that way, you'll be overcome with greed, and then you'll never want kids. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much to do with his will versus our will. And then to be able to be fruitful with long suffering and meekness, mm-hmm. and goodness and kindness and patience, yep. and all the fruit.
And joyful.
Yeah.
Because when you're going through long suffering, a lot of the times people will get some bad attitudes associated with it.
And I think people, you know, it's so loose to say, I heard from God this, I heard from God that I think that our constitution as a church, as the body of Christ, we need to get serious with this. If we hear from God, we need to dig our heels in.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Tim heard from God that this man was going to get his job back when he was a union steward of a big company in town. and he dug his heels in, and it cost him the position of union steward. Mm-hmm. People thought he was nuts. It cost him that place of trust in other people's lives. And then the guy did get his job given back to him, and it did not make any sense, right?
Right.
Everybody around him thought he lost his mind. He grew in his faith.
Yeah.
You know, because he knew he heard from God on it.
I was just reading a thing about that passage, and mm-hmm. there's like...
Like a commentary? Or?
Mm-hmm. And there's multiple things. First of all, when he got buffeted, he had already had the vision.
Mm-hmm.
But people didn't know about the vision, but they knew about the thorn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you like never really know what people have going on behind the scenes, because he didn't tell people about his vision. Even in this passage, he says that a man, like he refers to someone in the third person, but it was him.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if the thorn just really strikes my interest. So if people knew about the thorn, then that means it was a physical manifestation of something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know who this is by. I want to look at it first. It doesn't say, but it says in the ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament known as the Septuagint, right? Is that how you say it? The word scallops, like S-K-O-L-O-P-S, sounds like scallops.
Yeah.
But it's scallops.
Yeah.
Thorn shows something which frustrates and causes trouble in the lives of those afflicted.
Hmm.
And when it was talking about this thorn, this commentary said, Satan probably jumped at the permission to afflict Paul and did so with malice towards him. But God had a purpose in it all and allowed Satan's messenger to successfully keep Paul from being exalted above measure. To buffet me means that this thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, punched Paul.
Mm.
He felt that he was beaten black and blue by this messenger of Satan. And it goes on to say, it's interesting to consider what a counselor without a biblical perspective might have said to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that Paul tells the counselor about his great infirmity, his troublesome thorn in the flesh, and how Paul feels weak and powerless to continue on against it. We might imagine that the counselor would say, well, Paul, what you need is a positive mental outlook right now. Or he might say, the power is within you to conquer this infirmity. You should look deeper within the inner man, find the resources for success, right? Or maybe the counselor would then tell Paul, what you really need is the support of caring individuals. The counselor might suggest that Paul take a medication for his depression around this.
Mm-hmm.
He might even seek to challenge Paul by saying, if you really had faith, you would be delivered from this thorn. And some of this advice might be good in different circumstances, but Paul, he ultimately took his problem to the wonderful counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And God had something different to say. It says when he pleaded with the Lord, it says Paul did exactly what he told others to do in the time of trouble. He believed for himself what he wrote in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything be, what does it say? Philippians 4:6. Mm-hmm. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything.
By prayer and supplication.
Yeah. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting. It addresses where he said that he prayed that this might depart from me.
Yeah.
Paul's initial prayer was to escape the suffering.
Yeah.
But when he suffered, his first instinct was to ask God to take it away.
Mm-hmm.
When his passionate and repeated plea was not answered, it must have concerned him. I mean, doesn't it concern you?
100%. I went through like a full on, am I possessed by devils?
So the attack has a physical component. It also has a mental component.
Mm-hmm.
and a spiritual component. Because the physical component is the symptom.
Yeah.
The mental component is that it was this messenger of Satan mm-hmm. that came
was able to mess with him. Uh-huh.
And the spiritual component was that he was like, this is unanswered prayer.
Mm-hmm. It's always interesting because people that I know have a gift to be able to hear spiritually from God also can hear spiritually.
Correct.
Yep. You know, and we all...
Can you tap on that for a second, like a little bit deeper? Because yeah. I think people need to hear this, because whatever your calling or anointing from the Lord is, so whatever you do real well in the church, if you're not properly spiritually like aligned, staying yeah. aligned with God, well, that same gift can work on the opposite side of the fence.
Aligned with God, but also have...
surrendered to God.
Accountability and covenant relationships.
Yeah.
David was successful with Saul trying to kill him because he had a covenant relationship with God and with Jonathan, Saul's son. Mm-hmm. We have to have those. It could be with your pastor. It could be with, everybody should be under a covering, right? Yeah. So if you're rogue and you're just a prophet, going giving prophecies in living rooms and barns, if you ever get off, who are you answering to besides God? Right? There's got to be somebody that you trust with your life, where they don't have anything to gain from just telling you the truth. Like, correct. Hey, you're off a little bit. This isn't. Let's get back on track. I love you too much to see you fail. You have a gift.
100%. I just had this conversation today with somebody, and we were talking about how. Like what her career is it's basically like immediate, what's the word? Like, for example, for you, if you didn't properly clean the carpet, people could literally see that very second.
Yeah. It's immediate instant gratification. Yes. Instant result.
So like they're in a position where that is their job. Like it's like immediate, like satisfaction of the work. And so if it's not up to par, like if it's not properly done, properly aligned, all of those things, constructive criticism will immediately come mm-hmm. and they're able to receive it, take it into consideration, and then fix things going forward. Right.
Correct.
And we got talking about this because so many times when we try to help one another or disciple people on how to possibly tweak things that we're noticing that could bring them closer to God or suggest like areas to not go into those roads anymore because it's going to take them further down the wrong path. People literally go defensive and they're like, you know, oh, you're better than me, blah, blah, blah. And they immediately go into like the shutdown mode. Mm-hmm. But in like a professional type atmosphere, you take constructive criticism all the time.
Correct. Yeah.
But in a spiritual atmosphere, anybody gives you constructive criticism, you're like, wow.
Oh, especially your pastors, because people consistently are like, I want to be closer to God. And then I've literally watched a pastor be like, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to get this sin out of the camp. You need to get your house in order, right?
Get married.
And they turn around and they're like, I have church hurt.
Yeah.
I can't receive from that pastor anymore.
Right.
Well, you didn't receive from him in the first place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because he literally, like a coach.
Yeah.
If you don't listen to a coach and they can't carry it out, they'll bench you or they'll 100%. Make you run laps.
100%.
Yeah. Like, coaches, like high school coaches, if you're not pulling the right grades, they'll pull you.
Yeah.
So honest, there, a lot of this does, for me, it's like tying in with the message from yesterday. And here's why I say this. So like, there's two ways to deliver somebody out of an affliction. And one is either you take it away mm-hmm. or you make them strong enough to bear it and praise God anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, recently at work, actually, they played this video and it was a coach. And she was like, from a college basketball team, I told you about this. And I was like, we need to do an episode on this. Do you remember it? She was basically saying to college women's basketball players, you need to get it out of your head that like life is going to be easy because it's actually only going to get harder. But what you learn over time allows you to do hard things better. Mm-hmm. So it's not that there are fewer hard things. It's that you learn how to do them better. Yeah.
Right.
So like it can give you an illusion of strength if all you have to do is like endure for a moment and then be like, God, take it away. And he's like, okay.
Yeah. Done.
Because it builds nothing in you.
Right.
The best thing you can do when afflicted, in my opinion, and I think there's scripture to back this up, is you praise God anyway. Mm-hmm. You worship God anyway.
Yeah.
You worship God in spite of what's happening, despite what's happening.
Yep.
You pursue him with your whole heart. And that's when you look at people like Job. He didn't turn his back on God. And then God rewarded him for that.
Yeah, 100%.
And like, that's really what it comes down to, is I feel like, because especially in the American church, like it's so cushy.
Oh, we're spoiled.
It's so cushy that like there are people around the world that are having to like contend for the faith. Mm-hmm. And we're literally incapable of doing it. Mm-hmm. Like if our church had to go underground, could it?
Imagine.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Joseph, right? You're hearing from God. You're having dreams and visions, and then you give your parents and your brothers a dream that you had, and they get angry. Mm-hmm. Even his dad was like, "How dare you?
Like,
you
watch it.
You think you're gonna tell me this?" But then you're...
Can I be honest, though? Like, if we would replay that story right now, and let's say you went to, you know, your dad and said, I had a dream that I ruled over all of you, I feel like it probably wouldn't be well received even to this very day. Like, honestly. Like, if you really think about it. Yeah.
But well, then... I think culture plays into that because it's a weird thing to say in general. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At least in our culture. Maybe it was more normal.
Well,
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
He had to interpret the dream for them.
Right.
You know, like, this is my dream. I interpret it. This is what it means. But this is the thing, is to go through that, hear from God, see God's vision for your life. He gives you a glimpse. And then you enter into this journey.
Right.
Where all of a sudden... The very thing that was a trophy of the favor of God on your life. So then you have this situation where you get this trophy. You wear it out to your brothers, who are out working, and then they are like, "Let's just kill him," right? And so you go through this journey, and they throw you into a pit. And then one of the brothers has a moment of clarity and is like, we can't do this. He knew. He knew the command. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
So you have one person that stands up against the majority and is like, we better not.
And I think he was the baby, too.
And then all of a sudden, people come through in a caravan. And they're like, all right, we can get rid of them, plus make a little money. Mm-hmm. You know, and then all this happens, right? And he goes through all this stuff. He ends up in Potiphar's house, and then he ends up in favor there, but then gets accusation brought against him.
Right.
You know, in the position that God put him in.
Right.
And then he ends up in Pharaoh's house, you know, and it just keeps progressing. And then throughout this whole thing, it's a constant act of intercession to save his nation and his bloodline.
Yeah.
And God puts him in that place where they do bow down to him.
Yeah.
And by the time he gets there, he's humble.
Yeah. By the time he gets to the goal, like, he's been through the knot hole. Like,
maybe,
literally.
Maybe all these hurt feelings you're experiencing, maybe all these trials and tribulations you're experiencing are knocking off all the rough edges so that when you finally get to that place where God's called you to be, you're going to be humble.
100%.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at T-H-E Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.